rolling steak. He's got an extra rolling steak.
Would you like more?
He's got one. He's got it. Jimmy named it.
Look, Annie.
If you want Rebecca's pain, you should just say you want Rebecca's pain. Ready? Y'all ready?
Yes.
All right, if everybody would, let's go ahead and call this October 10 Westminster City Council meeting to order. If you would, please stand for the invocation and pledge allegiance to Miss Audrey Reese. And if y'all would, just remember our friends in Israel right now and what they're going to.
Let's pray. God of grace and mercy, we give you thanks for this day where we are called together to serve our city and one another in love. God, we lift up Israel to you and ask that your peace prevails for once and for all in that land. And for those that are caught in the crossfires of oppression and war, may they know your hedge of protection. God, direct and guide our hearts and our minds tonight as we discern your will for our city that we love so much. And let us lead in your will and through your love. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Let's salute the flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Certify a quorum.
I certify we do have a quorum.
And note the absence of Mr. Dale Glimp, who did let us know he would not be attending. He's in Columbia for some municipal training. At this time, we open the floor for public comments.
We do not have anybody signed up.
No one for public comments. And then we'll move on to comments from the mayor and council. Anything from the floor?
I'd like to say something.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm privileged to be a part of the Lazy Daisy Garden Club, and they're having their annual auction on November 14th. Wanted to welcome people to come and be a part of that. If you need any information, let me know. All of their money goes for scholarships for the children, not really children, young adults in high school as they graduate, and projects in the city. Everything goes to projects in the city.
November 14th?
November 14th.
Where you're at and what time?
Westminster Baptist Church at 10 o'clock. It costs nothing to come, and we'd love you to spend a lot of money.
All right, anything else?
Looking forward to Bigfoot this weekend.
Look forward to Bigfoot. And we want to wish Miss Audrey Reese, our Reverend, a happy anniversary.
Thank you.
Anything else? All right, move on. Special recognition of the police officer and firefighter of the year.
Yeah, so, Mayor, I'd like to have both the chiefs come up, and Chief Smith, Chief Patterson, as well as Jeff McKinley, come on up. And a number of you from council were at the special recognition ceremony where Jeff was recognized as the Westminster Firefighter of the Year, and McKinley was recognized as the Westminster Police Officer of the Year. We're very proud and thankful, proud of the work they do, very thankful for the work that they do. And you guys just look pretty bad right there. I mean, like, in a good way. Let's go take a picture.
You did almost go all the way through.
Andrea was like, she wants to take a picture so we get a picture of y'all. Just wanted them to know how much we appreciated them in front of the whole council, because not all of y'all could attend the recognition. So thank you both for the work that you do, and we appreciate you very much.
Thank you. Thanks a lot, guys.
And I told both those gentlemen they could stay or leave, so we'll let them kind of decide.
Well, I'm sure they're eager to stay and watch this. We do appreciate y'all.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah. Next, approval of the September 12, 2003 regular meeting minutes. I noted some changes. I didn't note them until late today, so I sent them in to Ms. Overton. So I'm going to make a motion that we table that until the next meeting. If council's okay with that.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Next, comments from the Utilities Director.
Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Harp.
Members of Council. Great day this afternoon. We received our approval to operate from DHEC on the Greenfield Road to Dalton Drive water line. Tests have come back good, so we are ready to begin hooking up services. Spoke to Airwood Contracting, who has that section of Division 1 this afternoon, and they hope to start hooking those services up on Monday. So, they're doing that in tandem with the work they're doing on Dixon Road. They've already moved over to that section. That's the DIXON, Dixon. They have already, in the last 2 days since they've been out there, they've made the tap onto the main line at the Jenkins Bridge side and begun laying pipe today down through there. Barring any difficulties with the rock or anything in the ground, they don't think it should take them more than a couple weeks to get that line laid in and tied in down to Singleton, which is where a few years ago when the road collapsed, line was ran and left stubbed out for the future connection. So they don't think that should, you know, barring any
feedback from the residents down through there that's going to get
so
the
far,
new tap?
Everybody's been really excited.
And they're fine with getting the new tap?
All but one who has a well and said she doesn't want one. So we're probably going to go ahead and make the tap anyway. I tried to make contact with her today just to, you know, let her know that we'd like to go ahead and make the tap whether she hooks onto it or not. But everybody else that we have heard from, it's been, when can I hook up? Or my property line's weird. Be sure my meter's on this side of the, you know, so.
They're good with the payment plan that we worked out? Kevin worked out?
The payment plan hasn't exactly worked out as we had hoped. We could not get a per foot price for the entire project to where we could work with a plumbers that would, you know, they said there was just too much.
Mm-hmm.
They just couldn't get a price that they could hold, guaranteed that they could hold. So the initial letter we sent out just said that we're running the line. When the line is done, we'll notify you, and you'll have X amount of time to arrange with the plumber to get this done. And that's where we're at the moment with that.
Okay.
I'll add to that just a little bit, if you don't mind, Mayor. So when we made that proposal to you, we were hopeful that we would be able to contact at least three plumbers and get a fixed price per linear foot. Kevin has worked really hard with those contractors, and there are too many variables in the field for any of them to be willing to hold to a per linear foot price.
Okay.
So our initial letter to them is putting it on the property owner to make those arrangements. They're going to have about a month from the time the line is, that initial work is finished out there. If we encounter anyone that has financial difficulty, we'll figure out something new. Until the plumbers get out there, though, because that section of Dixon's also got some rock out there, so it isn't just soil conditions we're dealing with. There's also some rock. So that is a little bit different. I saw some of y'all look confused when Kevin said that, and he was covering for all the decisions I made that we were going to pull that back and put it back on the property owner. Of the 15 homes out there, I believe all but two are owner-occupied. So we are dealing mostly with residents who own those properties. I thought there was a bit higher count of rental property, but there are only two. And then we have the one that has already put in the well. So we will continue to work with them out there on Dixon Road until we get it all resolved. My guess is we're going to get that line mostly installed before we realize who doesn't have the money to be able to help pay. But because you've already authorized us to help figure that out, we'll probably be doing more or less an audible with each one. And then we'll report back to you what we have. I don't think that the order of magnitude is beyond what we discussed the last time, which was around $30,000 to $40,000 total. And it, the the more folks that are able to take care of it themselves, and that price comes to further.
Okay.
Very good.
Any questions about the way we did that? And I'm sorry, because I didn't give you an administrator report, which I love to do for you guys. I would have had that letter in there that last week. So.
No, that's fine. I was just concerned because of the way we were going to go about it. I was afraid we'd get some pushback for it. So.
Yeah, for us, it's a whole lot cleaner to do it this way.
Absolutely.
But we are ready to help those folks if they need assistance. And Kevin's in pretty good communication.
Very good.
I'm sorry.
And as an exclamation point to that, we have actually had people on the other side of the road that aren't in the Dixon 15 that are willing to buy taps off of it. I think we've heard from at least two so far that said, when can I buy tap? So we're like,
even better.
Buy tap right now.
Very good.
So, but we're getting that, so that's coming. 76 work, which is most visible around right now, is progressing. It's progressing well, even sometimes it doesn't look like it is. They're already running into rock. They've run into, well, we may have spoken last month or some of my reports to Mr. Bronson. They have, I think, at least two spots right now that they have just skipped over. They're coming down through there, they're making progress, they hit rock, they can't cut through with a bucket, they skip it. They go to like get good ground and they go again. Two spots skipped less than, I think, 100 foot each in the ridge crossing. They're holding on that till they get all the equipment in and out of the way, and they can do that at once. The rock, they want to finish the entire, everything they can easily before they bring the rock equipment in, so it's not in and out, because apparently it's used in several places, old jobs they're on. So they've done road bore, crossed the road, and are now on the home stretch on the second section. So it shouldn't be, Tony was telling me yesterday, they could finish by the end of next week with the lineal foot that they can run right now. Then they'll be bringing in the other equipment, hammering out the rock, grinding the rock, whatever they have to do to it, getting the bridge hung, and then that section. That is quite a longer section than either of these other two. So it does seem longer. Once they're complete there, they will move to Welcome Church. That line, we discussed before, but just to recap, will be a new 6-inch line, 8-inch line. I'm sorry, I just lost it. I'm not sure if it's 6 or 8, I apologize. A new line all the way through Welcome Church Road to Berry Farm, turning left on Berry Farm and running back out to Cleveland Pike. So that will be a connection that we've had water coming in from both directions, never been able to meet in the middle. Mm-hmm. So that will finish up that. We are completely done from at Cooper's Mill with sewer and water. Arrowwood had finished all the services last week. So the water and sewer aspect of it, we're now, I think the contractors are just waiting on some sewer pressure tests to come back from DHEC. And then that will be ready for them to go vertical at their discretion. And I think that's all I've got, unless there's questions from you.
Nope. We're good.
And from a public works standpoint, we're excited and ready for a Bigfoot Festival this weekend. We will start moving stuff into downtown on Friday, getting the stage set up, garbage cans, and hope for a good turnout and festival this weekend.
What time are we planning on shutting down Main Street?
All of Main Street will get shut down at noon.
At noon Friday.
We will shut down the block at Dr. Campbell's office around 10:30 to allow them to come in and get the stage up.
Perfect. Weird.
Y'all be ready for that. Gonna be fun.
Oh yes.
We'll be selling barbecue. Y'all come in.
Yeah.
Thanks, Kevin.
Thank you, Kevin. Now to the next Kevin. Mr. Administrator, you go right ahead.
Yeah, Mayor and Council, if you look at item number three, number A, I have kind of sketched out what a planning retreat could look like for us in January. And I am interested to have your feedback. I'll start Real quick, since those of you who are up for re-election are running unopposed, I'm making a big assumption you will still be here with us in January. That was a little bit sarcastic. So we would need to swear you in on, typically we've been doing that the first week of January. I just picked the 4th. I think that is a Thursday. Then to do our planning work together, I broke it into 2 half-day sessions. And Davey and I were talking about this yesterday. Here's a little bit of my thinking. We want to give you a financial overview of where we are financially and what we're looking at coming down the road, because we have so many projects going on right now. And also show you what we accomplished this year. And I say we, I include you in that. What we accomplished this past year from the priorities you set last year. And then you have a council meeting, and then give you time to go home, reflect on what you heard, and then come in the next morning ready to plan what you're looking for the next year.
So we have to remember this overnight?
Or you can come in with a fresh slate, whatever works well for you. Or if you would like to do something else. This was just something I thought of to break it up, because I've noticed that not just you, but staff, we tend to get tired when we do an all-day session like
that. Oh, for
that.
Sure.
So I'm Jimmy open to any suggestions.
Jimmy likes
steadfast.
I'm good with it. The only thing about the 9th, are we going to be here for the work session and then roll it right into a council meeting that evening? Is that your plan?
That was my plan. Or you can have the planning session at the depot and then come here.
You got Rotary from 12 to 1. It'd be full of people at 1.
Yeah,
so I'm good with the date.
Yeah. Or at City Hall. I mean, I doubt you'll have a big audience that wants to attend. And the facilitators that I have contacted are at the Appalachian Council of Governments, Chip Bentley, who most of y'all know, or Trey Eubanks, who is their, I think, their government liaison. They both do good work in priority setting, so I'm fairly certain we can get one of them for this.
Kevin, at one point, maybe it was not with you, maybe it was in one of the municipal associations things that we went to in February, there was conversation about maybe perhaps like physically retreating. Is that something that is just not on the table for this year?
If you would like to physically retreat, we can. We didn't set a budget aside to...
I gotcha.
...to go someplace else. But I'm certainly... Part of me putting this in here was to get your feedback now, because we have time to plan for whatever you would like to do.
I mean, I'm good with whatever. I just remember that was part of the conversation.
Some councils I know do that. PMPA, the mayor and I have a planning retreat coming up in a week or two, and that's in Flat Rock, or I was going to say Red Rock, I don't think that's the right place.
Flat Rock.
So that's how they do their retreat, but you guys tell me what you'd like and we'll make the arrangements.
Anyone on council want to do a retreat?
No. I'm good with this. If I had a preference.
Well, just with my work, it's usually easier. I can then work some more. You know, I'm taking that time away, but I can work if we're closer. Yeah, if we're close, it wouldn't matter.
We'll discuss it at the planning meeting if y'all want to do it next year.
Okay. Can we look at it?
At it if it's something. Because I think most of us have gotten enough of the trainings now. We're not like Dale's going tonight. Yeah. We've gotten a lot of that taken care of.
Rebecca said there's always Bermuda.
I mean, I was thinking like Lake Jocassee, but Bermuda works too.
And that would be part of what I would be looking for. How far away do you want?
I wasn't thinking far. I was just thinking, you know, a lake house somewhere.
Okay.
But that was just me. Maybe.
And that certainly could be part of your priority setting for the following years, where you'd like that to be.
The Waffle House.
Do what? Waffle House.
Jimmy, didn't y'all used to do those? Didn't y'all used to go up Brasstown to the mayor's cabin up there?
We did.
Yeah. So it's not...
Never that far away.
Yeah, it's not unheard of. We could do something.
I felt like I had had something city council related, had that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're okay with these dates, I'll ask Rebecca to go ahead and send you some meeting invitations and put those on your calendars, and we'll we'll begin to plan for that.
All right.
The next item I wanted to give you is an Anderson Park update. And if I start down a road, and I've already said this to y'all, please stop me. I talk so much to so many people, I sometimes forget.
You talk so much.
I know, it's hard to, you know, few people are surprised by that. So we originally put Anderson Park out to bid, and we put it out to bid without designing it because in some conversations I had with at least one playground company, they preferred not to have a design to have to comply with. Well, when we put it out to bid, we received no bids, and the feedback we got from the playground companies were, you didn't have a design. So we have gone back, and actually I did tell you this, because Mayor, I remember you asking me at the last council meeting how much we were paying Blake Sanders.
Right.
So we've now retained Blake Sanders, whom some of you may remember from our downtown master plan
yes.
work.
Mm-hmm.
He's also the outgoing mayor of Pelzer. He does playground designs as part of his landscape design firm, Studio One, can't remember the name. He is working on a design for us right now. He's already sent me some draft versions in, and he is talking directly to the playground equipment companies so that he makes sure he incorporates that in. This is an easy lift for Blake. It's a hard thing for me to do. We also have a survey that has been ordered that should be to us by November 1st. And then once we get that to Blake, he will prepare all the documents. He will help us bid it out with the COG and then help manage at least the initial part of the installation. So a little bit of a delay on that. Certainly was a bit let down that we did not get bids on that, but I understand from the prospective contractors' point of view. So any questions on that? I am ever hopeful spring we'll be playing on that. I thought we'd have been playing on it by fall, but hopefully spring we'll be playing on the playground. I gave you all a handout, this sheet. I'm sorry I didn't include this in your packet. And you can see that it is from Reagan to me. So we all should thank Reagan for keeping track of the things that I sometimes miss. You have three commissions and that require you to make appointments. The Planning Commission, the Board of Zoning Appeals, and the Tree Commission. We don't currently have anyone on the Tree Commission, and so that's not here. But you can see for your Planning Commission and your Board of Zoning Appeals, we have some folks that are there that have expired terms. The way the ordinance is written, that you continue to serve until your replacement is appointed. So I wanted to put this on your radar, and if you are comfortable with us bringing appointments back at your November council meeting, I will be happy to put those on the November meeting, or if you need more time until December, I can do that. But I would ask you to please consider that at one of your next two meetings so that, and I'm operating from a very basic assumption that these folks are interested in being reappointed.
That was my next question. Have we reached out to any of these people just to see if they're...
I will let Reagan answer because he spoke with some of the folks, not everyone.
Yeah, so whenever you all approved the bylaws for our Planning Commission, that begun a process of reappointing their officers, re-electing their officers. And that kind of began me looking into when the term limits are. What we need to do, and from everyone I've spoke to on Planning Commission seems to be open. We'll have a Board of Zoning Appeals while I'm out that Kevin will be handling on the 23rd. So certainly our next two of those meetings, I can bring that up for discussion with our members and see if that's something they're willing to continue to serve. You know, we should have enough information to hopefully bring some names by November, if that's what you would like.
We still need one for the Zoning Appeal Board.
There's one that was vacant. That we did not have a current member. The former person who held that chair was Mr. Glimp, who is now on council. He cannot hold that, so that was never reappointed after he moved on to serve with this body.
We need to find you somebody for that then.
Yes, sir. So certainly keep in mind if you talk to your community members, they live in the city limits, but other than that, the qualifications.
Will you email us just a yes or no for everybody else if they're willing? If they're not, we'll know to start looking for someone.
Yes, sir. Yes. You can let us meet with them until the end of the month, though.
Well, can you just make a phone call? Just make sure they're willing?
Yes, sir.
If not, that way we can try to find somebody before the next meeting.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. So, counsel, if you've got any ideas for somebody that might be interested in the Zoning Appeals Board, talk with them and see if they're willing to do that. How often are they meeting, the Zoning Appeals?
I believe that our meeting this month will be the first one in about a year, probably. Maybe a little year and a few months. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this will only be the second one since I've been here.
Yeah, I don't even remember but two or three at all.
And the Board of Zoning Appeals is as needed.
Right.
That's a planning commission light commitment.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And we've had a lot of construction going on in the last 4 or 5 years, and we still haven't had meetings. So okay. I don't think it's going to be a big deal. All right, very good.
And then the last thing I'll tell you, one, I'd like to congratulate Reagan. He is getting married on Saturday. He admitted yesterday he was only a little bit distracted by that fact.
Don't put that in the minutes, his wife might.
Distracted in a good way. But the reason I bring that up is we are in the final days of having our website ready to launch, the new one. It looks really good. You all are very photogenic. I've seen your pictures come through. If you want a copy of that photo that we took of you, just let Reagan know, and he'll give you a copy if you want one for to hang on your own wall or to give to your loved ones. I know they want to see you looking good. We're really close, and I think you're going to be proud of what you see. So I just want to give you that update. And, Mr. Mayor, that's all I have.
And I need to get something to you that I haven't. I forgot about that. Yeah, okay. Thank you. Is that it? All right, next, move on to old business. Consider second reading ordinance 2023-10-10-01. This is a business license ordinance for the City of Westminster to update the class schedule as required by Act 176.
Mr. Mayor and Council, you passed this unanimously on first reading at your last meeting. Again, what we are doing, particularly Ms. Overton, is making sure we stay in compliance with that recent state law amendment to the Business License Standardization Act. And I think all we're doing are adding the NAPS code. Is that what we're doing?
The update.
So you're not changing any fees or any timelines or anything like that. You're simply incorporating as a part of our business license the NAICS codes. And that's just what the businesses need to categorize themselves by to get a business license.
Need a motion.
Motion to approve the second reading of ordinance number 2023-10-10-01.
Second.
Motion and a second. Call for a vote.
Davey?
Yes.
Ms. Ruth?
Yes.
Aldrin?
Yes.
Brian?
Yes, ma'am.
Jimmy?
Yes.
Adam?
Yes, ma'am.
Next, under new business, consider ordinance number 2023-11-14-01. Authorize the execution and delivery of a non-exclusive franchise agreement with Duke Energy of the Carolinas and other matters relating thereto.
Yes, sir, Mr. Mayor and Council. I introduced Mr. Trent Acker to, I think, all of you as y'all came in, as he came in. If any of y'all remember Ms. Emily DeRoberts, she was our previous liaison. She has retired, and Trent has come on to take her place. He's been real easy for us to work with. We have what is called a municipal service agreement with Duke, and that allows them to operate inside our corporate limits if there is a customer that they can serve. Trent and I have talked about this. We don't believe we have any customers right now that are Duke's, but this agreement gives Duke the right to serve a customer should they have one. The agreement that was last created was in May of 2009. This agreement is essentially the same. We have had Andrew and Lawrence Flynn review it, as well as the Duke Council. There was one change that my suggestion to you that we make, and the only change, is that we increase the franchise fee from 4% to 5%. And that is in keeping with what we charge ourselves. So if you remember when we did the budget, what we charge ourselves in a utility transfer is 5%. So the reason, the only mechanism by which you can change that franchise amount is through an ordinance. So if you were to choose not to change it from 4% to 5%, then we don't need the ordinance, I don't think. I'm not getting too far ahead of myself. I'll let Andrew feel comfortable. You still like to have it. And then the item number three that you have on here, I'm actually going to ask you to defer until the next council meeting. The actual municipal service agreement itself, you should adopt that with the second reading of the ordinance rather than having them out of sequence.
Okay.
And Mayor, if you're good with it, I'd like to have Mr. Acker speak just for a moment about kind of what you guys are doing and also answer any questions you may have.
Please do. You have the floor.
Thank you very much. Mr. Mayor, we appreciate it. Every, as I'm learning, every municipality we serve is a little bit different, and we do have several wholesale customer municipalities like Westminster is. You know, we obviously, part of the agreement also addresses the transmission lines that we do have to cut through city limits, talks about our rights. They already exist through rights of way and easement, mm-hmm. but it continues to talk about what our right is in terms of serving those and maintenance and all the things required to that. As best I could tell, the most recent customers we had were transmission customers like Dunlop. When they were there, they served directly off our transmission line. So they would have been an in-town customer. I think there was another facility here, a Janssen facility years ago, that would serve straight off transmission. But otherwise, as best as I can tell from our tax office and what we would have been collecting, we don't have a customer, a distribution customer. We don't have distribution equipment here within in city limits. One of the things that Kevin and I are talking about, and as we talked about with our assorted legal counsel, is can we provide a service territory map? The Public Service Commission, years and years and years ago, set up, this is Blue Ridge Territory, this is Duke Territory, and the lower part of St. Progress, you know, whatever it might have been. Those maps exist. We are, perhaps unsurprisingly, we don't love to turn loose any maps. A lot of that is based on security and equipment. In this case, we don't have much except for transmission. We wouldn't be able to share mapping associated with that, even though you can see it, mm-hmm. Because of security and other things. But in terms of the actual service territories, which is going to be one of the things in the final item, I just got to get permission to either share it or get access from Public Service Commission to just turn over what they have. Just so, because basically what it looks like is something similar you'd see on any GIS map of service. It has highlighted area for, in our case, Blue Ridge, right around the town is unassigned, largely unassigned. And then the town itself, just like Wahala, Seneca, Salem, West Union, whatever, would have the choice, just like you would have had previously, to either be served directly by Duke and we would manage distribution, or in the case of you and Seneca, run your own municipal utility. So, happy to answer any questions. As Kevin mentioned, this is essentially the same agreement in lots of ways. And for us in Westminster, that really just means we're putting this in place so we have a structure in case something comes up, as opposed to addressing the specific distribution service we provide.
Well, I don't have a question, but I do want to thank you and everybody at Duke Power. Y'all been very generous with us and helping us when we've had outages, when we've needed your guys, and then we were upgrading our system, the line that ran to Janssen, y'all signed that over to us, which saved the city close to $100,000. So we really appreciate the way you work with us.
Happy to do it. Oconee County and Westminster is important to Duke. We have a lot of assets in the county and a lot of great customers, and we want to be good neighbors as well.
Did you say Dunlop was a customer?
Was.
So if the book distributor gets in there, they will be a customer?
Yeah, I think the book distribution company is actually going to be served by Blue Ridge.
Blue Ridge got a new transmission.
They have they have a substation right next to it.
Right adjacent to it.
That's
all it's
going
to do.
They just built it.
Gotcha.
So more often than not, it's going to be Duke and Blue Ridge deciding in some of those non-assigned service territories which one of them is going to serve, because we don't typically go outside our corporate
sure.
limits trying to serve.
Got it. Just curious.
But we've got a new park going in right next to the main transmission line, so we'll be working with you a lot on that, I think, in the near future.
Yeah, Kevin and I talked about that too. Yeah. Our asset protection folks who are in charge of transmission, I was talking with the recovering asset protection guy yesterday who manages recreation here along the lakes. And he says they have, it's like this, it's like a cartoon almost, Noah's up on their wall. And then they kind of work backwards from there. So they can be, we have a new gentleman actually in our area, which is a little less prickly, but we'll work very hard. And that's kind of one of my jobs, to be honest with you, is to be an asset for customers so that when we have our engineering, asset protection, whoever, kind of see things in black and white, I can be helpful in trying to say, well, actually,
yeah,
here's what we can do for the customer.
Well, I really appreciate what you do. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And just like we did with our Officer Firefighter of the Year, you're welcome to stay and watch government in action. You're welcome to hit the road or whatever.
This might be my best chance to get home before bedtime.
There you go.
So we appreciate it. Yes, any more questions or comments for Trent before we
thank you.
Thank you all. Thank really you. Appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right, with that then, need a motion?
Need a motion.
Motion to approve ordinance number 2023-11-14-01.
Second.
Motion second. Any more discussion? Call for vote, please.
Bruce?
Yes.
Aldrey?
Yes.
Brian?
Yes, ma'am.
Jimmy?
Yes.
Adam?
Yes, ma'am.
Davey?
Yes.
Next, item three, consider municipal service agreement for the provision of electric service with Duke Carolinas. I'll make a motion. We table that.
Yes, ma'am.
Second.
Motion second. Any more discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Item four, consider ordinance number 2023-11-14-02. This ordinance to execute real property sale agreement.
Yes, sir, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Stoltzfus, did I get that right?
You're good.
I practiced earlier today with
the <Rebecca. laughs>
I can get the Milan part right, but I wanted to call you by the formal name. We talked last time about selling this, what I would call remnant piece of property that Mr. Harbin has gone out and reviewed that we don't need. You guys are talking about the water tower that's out there. Andrew has put together the ordinance by which you have to authorize the contract for contract of sale. So item four and five go hand in glove.
Would this contract not have to be moved to the next second reading as well?
It's similar to the MSA because we can't execute the contract till the ordinance passed, but you kind of need to see the contract to also have the ordinance. So
we can go ahead and approve the contract as well?
No. What I should have said was it's basically the same,
mm-hmm.
and you were correct.
We'll table it after this. Okay. Anybody have any questions about this, about the ordinance? We need a motion to approve.
Motion to approve ordinance 2023-11-14-02.
Okay. Motion and a second. Any more discussion? Call for a vote.
Aldrey?
Yeah.
Brian?
Yes, ma'am.
Jimmy?
Yes.
Adam?
Yes, ma'am.
Davey?
Yes.
Ruth?
Yes.
Next, item five, consider the contract of sale and purchase to Mr. Malin Stolfus. And I move that we table this. To the next meeting.
Second.
Motion second. Any more discussion? Call for a vote, please.
Davey?
Yes.
Ruth?
Yes.
Aldrey?
Yeah.
Brian?
Yes, ma'am.
Jimmy?
Yes.
Adam?
Yes.
Next, item six, consider ordinance number 2023-11-14-03. This ordinance amends the title 8, chapter 130 of the code of ordinance for the city of Westminster.
Yes, sir, Mr. Mayor. We have spent a good bit of time, probably less formally than in a council meeting, but most of us, I won't say here, there, and yonder, have talked about what I'm going to call transient folks or homeless folks or more or less people hanging out where either the property owner does not want them to hang out ultimately. That's the best way I know how to kind of categorize it. I would like to make sure I give, to kind of make my comments with appropriate compassion to the folks who may be in that situation. And having listened to you all and our public hearing for the Community Development Block Grant was another place where I've heard it, and a couple of other places, Chief Patterson and I have been working together to try and find that right place to help everyone in town feel safe in their community. Whether it's somebody that is transient or homeless that is hanging out in town or walking through town, whatever it may be, we're working toward that end. And a part of that is this ordinance. This is an ordinance that's very similar to the to one that was adopted. Was it Salem or West Union? West Union. They adopted an ordinance very similar to this because they had a number of folks, in essence, that had created a homeless camp or small homeless camps up in that area, and it was on property that was by owners that don't live around here. And so being able to trespass folks that just decide to set up camp is a little bit of a complicated process because you as the property owner have the right to say yes or no when someone's there, and if you're not there, then that constrains what the police officers can do quite a bit. Andrew took what we had from the West Union folks and made sure it was it kind of fit with our code of ordinances. Chief Patterson has gone through this as well. He provided you a handout that has how we would actually implement that. The property owner would sign, in essence, I'm going to call this an affidavit. It is an affidavit. Huh, I was right on. I was going to call it an affidavit before I saw it. They would sign this affidavit that would allow the police department to issue someone a trespass notice without then re-contacting the property owner. And that's what we call the blanket trespass notice. And this would be a sign that would be posted, or very similar to this, would be posted on the property to let people know that there is a blanket notice that applies to that property. So to bring it all back, we've been listening a lot, trying to adjust, going through a little bit of growing pains with this, as well as I mentioned, applying the right, what I hope is the right amount of compassion. I think Matt does that really well, him and our officers. But we also want everyone to feel safe in the community. And sometimes when someone from out of town is here and we don't know who they are, not everyone feels safe. This is a tool that we have in our toolkit to allow us to, if we encounter a problem with somebody creating a small camp, that we could address right away in a manner that we don't have the ability to do right now. I'd be happy to answer any questions. Chief Patterson is here. Anything that you'd like to say that I didn't put in there?
I think you covered.
Andrew, anything from you?
Are we asking questions now, or do you want a motion? Cool. So does the property owner kind of opt into this?
Yes.
So this isn't something that upon approval is just going to be given out. I'm thinking, for example, we have students that use the library for the internet that might decide to wear pajamas to school one day and look like they don't belong there, but they're actually sitting there doing schoolwork. So I would hate for them to be issued a trespassing notice. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, and it would be up to the either Oconee County or that particular library branch manager to fill out the affidavit ahead of time.
Okay.
This would be posted. And like you and I have talked about, particularly students at the library, what I think our officers are getting a pretty good handle on are the people they see frequently.
Oh, yeah. I know.
And sometimes it's, we have folks that I believe that are homeless that are Oconee County people.
Yes.
And for whatever reason, they're in town. They may stay, they may move around. And then we have folks that are coming into town that they aren't from around
right
here, kind of thing. And this is meant more to address that if they were to, like I said, to create a camp or to squat on a piece of property that the property owner who isn't here 24/7 or routinely we have the ability to affect the change with the blanket notice.
Understood. Now, second, on the other side of the coin, how are we going to let property owners know about this option upon approval?
We have not created a communication plan, so that's a great question that I will have a fulsome answer to if you pass this tonight when it gets to the second reading.
Okay.
It may be a situation where that's something that the officers are going to have to talk to the property owners as they call you.
Yeah, or once this kind of gets out through media, social media, whatever, I'll personally go and have these with me and sit down with them. Yeah. And to kind of answer your question and follow up on Kevin's, the one situation that we run into a lot of is just businesses that are closed. For instance, people get into the trash cans at Dollar General. We catch them out there. We would have to call the manager at Dollar General, have them drive from wherever to sign the trespass notice, because as we sit now, we're not authorized to put them on trespass. This would really ease that kind of hurdle we sometimes have to go over if the property owners are not there.
Gotcha.
We don't need anything as far as city property goes, is that correct? So, I mean, if they're up there at the gazebo at the depot.
Well, we've got signs to put up, you know, it's the operating hours, things of that nature.
Okay. Yeah, for city property, what we have made signs, particularly for the gazebo, that says operating hours are daylight. So after daylight, it's closed. And when we have a special event, the special events that are authorized by the city, in my opinion, automatically allow activity to take place even if that's a closed facility. So think about Christmas caroling after dark in Retreat Street Park, because that's a city-sanctioned event. The park is open, and then once it's closed, once the event is over, then the park will become closed again. So it's a little bit less cut and dry when we have those kind of events, but day in, day out, normal is if it's dark, it's closed.
Those are the places that really concern me, is around town where people are trying to walk either late in the evening or early in the morning. You just don't want anybody to feel unsafe trying to walk through town and enjoy it.
Well, it's tough though. I mean, if I may, I can speak to that directly because I had that happen this morning. I was out before sunrise, and it's hard to police someone else out before sunrise. You know what I'm saying? Like, I ran across a gentleman that I didn't know. He was probably harmless, but yeah, there was a little bit of, oh, let me pick up that pace a little bit. Let me go a little faster. You know what I mean? So it's kind of tough. I feel like that would be hard, I guess, but I appreciate it. Does that make sense, Adam?
And another thing that we are going to do, up and down Main Street, Retreat Street Park, at the gazebo, we have a lot of electrical outlets that we leave electrified. And that's because we have so many events downtown. After Bigfoot Festival, we're gonna turn all those off. We're gonna disconnect the power. Right now, a number of folks tend to gravitate to the gazebo to charge their phones. Same thing at Anderson Park.
Yeah.
So just taking that out of accessibility, I think, is gonna help.
That'd be a good deterrent.
Yeah, because right now, a lot of folks know you can go to our gazebo to charge your phone, and so they do. When we don't have an event downtown, there's no reason for those to be on. So I think that's going to help too.
We'll save some money, though, I do.
Mm-hmm. I've got a question for some of the vacant property. Just say the property over on Beacon, Mr. Denny owns. If he posts that and someone's over there that he doesn't mind being over there, he's going to have both. So are y'all going to contact the property owner, or just automatic give him a trespass notice?
Yeah, he has somebody over there.
If he had someone over there that he knew was there, if he's allowing somebody to be on the property, rambling, looking for artifacts, whatever they do, people just get out and walk. How are you going to, if he puts a blanket notice up, are you going to request him to contact you for somebody that's got permission to be there, or is it just something you're going
to
make a call?
I think we have to communicate.
So you're going to, so when somebody does this, you're going to have a good contact number where you can get in touch with them if you run across it.
It'll be on that.
Yeah.
All right. There's nothing that stops somebody in that situation from being there.
Right.
So if you look at subsection E, mm-hmm. it says if you have the consent to
right.
be there, then you're fine.
Yeah. My concern was just that, are they going to be able to get in touch with the property owners? Because some of them are not, they're not here. They don't live here. They're not, and my property, for example, you know, we've got 3 acres in front of our house that people walk across a lot.
California.
We're going to post it because we've had one walk across it at 11 o'clock at night and took off running when I yelled at him. So, I mean, we're just, the only way to stop it is to post it. But some of them are not around and you couldn't get in touch with them unless you had something. But I'm good with it. Anybody else have any more comments or questions? I appreciate y'all putting this together. I know it's one more little thing you're having to do, but thank you. Do we need a motion? We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
Any more discussion? Call for a vote, please.
Brian?
Yes, ma'am.
Jimmy?
Yes.
Adam?
Yes, ma'am.
Davey?
Yes.
Ruth?
Yes.
Audrey?
Yes.
Item 7, consider authorized addition of 3 full-time firefighter positions to the existing 5 for a total of 8 full-time firefighter positions.
Yes, sir, Mr. Mayor. So we have talked
a lot.
Thank you.
That's what you were looking for.
I was trying to say a lot, yes. About the new fire service contract that we have with Oklahoma County, the contract has been signed, it's executed. We're expecting the new payment for this year to be $550,000 up to $285,000. When we talked about that contract getting into the final, toward final adoption at the last council meeting, we talked about adding those 3 additional firefighters, but you didn't give me actual formal approval. So it is here for your formal approval. I noted in here that you can see in the last sentence, I think is toward the end of the last sentence,
yeah,
that one firefighter cost us about $75,000 a year in salary and benefits. Now, there's some additional equipment costs that need to go in there. I'll also add real quick that we will come back to you probably in January and do a budget amendment because you adopted a budget that would have included us getting even more money from Oconee County. And when you adopted it, we talked that we're just kind of hold those expenditures in abeyance until we got all this settled out. Chief Smith and Kylie Carter and I sat down and went through where we would assign the new expenses within the chief's budget or the fire department budget. We have accounted for that additional $550,000. There was $10,000 that rotates out into the regular general fund because of the county-city split in this. We will bring that whole, you'll have a number of things. Might have as many as 7 or 8 at this point. Rebecca loves when we do budget amendments. And we're putting that list together. And I think January is probably going to be the best time because we have a few things that we're waiting to just land to know if we need to do the amendment. But if you would like to see, I've heard some of you talk about one of these handouts I gave you, how large the print was. I have a copy of what the chief's budget would look like. As we will propose it to you in that budget amendment. But for the most part, most of that money is sticking with salaries and benefits. Chief, anything that I did say there that you'd like to say?
No, thank y'all very much. Well, while we're thinking, thank you, Kevin, for, I mean, I know we've said it before, but all the negotiation and the back and forth and the constant work up there with MNOS, thank you for doing that. I feel a whole lot better knowing that we still have our fire department.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
I know our firefighters feel the same way.
Are you ready for a motion?
Ready for a motion.
I make a motion to authorize the addition of 3 full-time firefighter positions to the existing 5 for a total of 8 full-time firefighter positions.
Second.
Motion is second. Any more discussion? Call for a vote, please.
Jimmy?
Yes.
Adam?
Yes, ma'am.
Davey?
Yes.
Ruth?
Yes.
Audrey?
Absolutely.
Brian?
Yes, ma'am. Item 8, consider proposal for the sport facility company to conduct a market opportunity analysis for $18,000 and to conduct a financial feasibility assessment for $35,000.
Where we need our reading glasses?
Yeah, you can use your reading glasses. So there's nothing that says fun than springing something on an elected body that you haven't heard of before.
Mm-hmm.
There is a company called the Sports Facilities Company that I've known about for quite a while. They are a company, I took this from their website, they help plan and manage the nation's leading sports retreat and events destinations. So in essence, this is a company that has found a way to make its money helping plan and manage recreation assets.
Okay.
I have been kind of thinking about this company for a while, in particular as it relates to the gymnasium that we've talked about. When we received the bids for, I think you all know, we have bids in hand right now for the $5 million to improve the baseball fields. And the bids all give us a different way of looking at it. And we have some really smart folks on that committee, the mayor and Adam included, that can vet through that. But then there are a lot of things that we're going to need help vetting through. So, for instance, if we were to decide to go with an artificial turf on those fields, the product selection is almost endless.
Yeah.
How thick is the turf? What's the type? What are you wanting to do with it?
Shades of green.
Shades of green. Thank you.
You're welcome.
That's the kind of thing these folks do. And I'll also mention that while we have the money right now from the state to begin the baseball field construction, if we want to continue to build that facility out, which is to have as many baseball fields as we can fit, which isn't going to be that many more on that piece of property, and or to add a gymnasium, we, in my opinion, need professional assistance in making some of the, actually quite a lot of the decisions in design and furniture, the FFE, furniture, fixtures, and equipment selection. Herb knows what we have used, and he has a vendor, and those things that we already know about, I think we do a good job. Mm-hmm. In building something new, we don't have that expertise.
Sure.
I have talked with Adam quite a bit about this in the last week or two, I appreciate his assistance in it. He just happened to be, Adam just happened to be at City Hall when the sports facility guy made his call on me. And so Adam had the benefit of sitting in that meeting. I'm glad that you did. And as soon as I shut up, I hope you'll share whatever you'd like to with the rest of council. In order to begin an engagement with the sports facilities company, they have a process that they like to stick to. And that process is on this wonderful diagram that I gave you that most of us can't read all that great. Unless you put your readers on and get it in the right spot. You can see that after you get past concept, items 2 and 3 are market feasibility and financial feasibility. And that's what we have a proposal for. As we look to ask the state for more money, I think that we are going to be in a stronger position and be more successful if we can show that it's more than just us in this endeavor. And this company, I don't know that you get anybody that has more experience than this company. I will send you a link to their website. They have assets all over the United States. The one that I've been to, that I actually worked with this company on a little bit in one of my previous city jobs, was the Myrtle Beach Gymnasium, and I think that's either a 10 or a 12 court facility. The city of Myrtle Beach actually paid to construct it, and they have an agreement with the sports facility company, and they operate it all. The city of Myrtle Beach doesn't do anything.
Okay.
So as we've talked about with the number of things, there are a lot of options that you can pick. To speak directly to what's in front of you, the market opportunity analysis, part of what goes with that is actually looking and seeing we think we know what we need. They will actually do a deep dive into their demographic data, and they will give us, if you approve this, they give a report and say, here's what you can actually serve. It's one thing to see our one-court gymnasium overflowing where Herb is managing the time, so many things are coming and going, and we believe that we can fill a six-court facility. These folks will tell us with a whole lot more analysis whether or not that's likely to happen or not. So six courts may be too big, or they could come back and say, gosh, you had a 20-court gymnasium. I'm exaggerating, of course. But that's what they do in their market opportunity analysis. The other, the second phase, and I'll point to you the second page of their proposal. They have what is called, this is a go, no-go point. So if they come in and say, their analysis really shows that two courts is all this community, this area can support, and we would decide we don't need any more help from this company, then we would not proceed to step two. So there are decision points that we can make along the way. It's not an all or nothing. The second phase that they have here is a financial feasibility assessment. The gentleman that I talked to, his name is Greg Weiscarver. He told us in the meeting that these financial feasibility assessments that they do are actually bond market worthy. So let's say we wanted to take a loan out either through hospitality tax funds or general obligation funds, and we were to go to the bond market, you could use the feasibility study to back up your request for money from there. I also think you could use the feasibility study to back up the request from state agencies for how we know, not just how we hope, that the facility could be used. Typically, I would have taken this to the committee and asked them to vet it and make a recommendation to you. As I put in the write-up, that committee meets tomorrow night, and you're all welcome. It's open to the public. My recommendation to you is you pass this contingent on that committee vetting this through a little bit more. We have Mr. Weiscarver is going to make a presentation to the committee tomorrow night. He'll be doing it virtually, but he's going to do it all the same. And let the committee, as they're looking at those proposals that we have and look at this opportunity to help us make a number of decisions, whether or not, if the committee were to say, we don't want to go with that, then my recommendation to you would be, let's not go with it. I think there's a lot of value to it, or I wouldn't have brought it to you. And I apologize that the sequencing is not as I would like it to be, but and appreciate your flexibility to even entertain it tonight. I'll be happy to answer any questions.
I want Adam to go ahead and give his thoughts on that since he was there.
So, not just based on that, whenever you're building a project of this size, not to say this is a huge project, but it's a decent sized project, especially for a city, you get one chance to do it right. Planning is absolutely everything, and that's something in our first committee meeting that I voiced that I had a big concern with. Who has the time, the ability, the knowledge to go in there and really plan this stuff out? I don't think anybody on that committee has the time to put in to do what needs to be done. And I also think on our bids, once you see the bids from the contractors, they have design built in their price, if I'm not mistaken, that I'm assuming we can have pulled back out of there that would help pay for this. So it's not like we're paying for this and then paying again for a contractor. And these guys, in my opinion, are most definitely the I don't know the word I'm looking for. I trust these guys over a general contractor. The general
sure.
contractor is going to come out there with their team, and they've put together some pretty good teams. They've got good civil guys put together. They've got good architects put together, but these guys do this day in, day out. This is what they're used to. This is what they're comfortable with. If there's any way, in my personal opinion, if there's any way we can afford to do this, then I 100% think that we should do it. I really wish everybody could have been in that meeting the other day.
to listen to what they had to say and the ideas that they come up with. I mean, it's the little things that we're never going to think of.
Right.
That I feel like without them, we could be missing out.
Sure.
On a lot of the economic impact. I mean, these guys are really going to do a deep dive and look into what's going to benefit us, what we're going to need long term. How this thing's going to pay for itself, how long it's going to take for it to pay for itself. I mean, there's a ton of benefit in that. And I'm not doing them justice because I hadn't planned on really speaking on this. And he is going to come in on Zoom tomorrow. I think he's going to come in for about a half hour. So the meeting's tomorrow at 5 o'clock. So if anybody can be there, I recommend that you are there.
Is he first on the agenda?
Almost. So we'll do a little bit of pre-functory gathering, but he is scheduled to be on the Zoom call at 5:30. So at least from 5:30 to 6. He's going to be working hard to get a 20-minute presentation because they have a lot that they offer. And then, but I'm asking him to keep it to 30 minutes because the committee has a lot of work to do to still evaluate those bids. But it's also up to the committee if they want to hear more from him. He's willing to stay on the call as long as
and that's at City Hall?
That's at City Hall in the conference room.
And one of the bids we have actually has a company similar to this listed as one of their one of the parts of their proposal. So like Adam said, I think we'll be able to save a lot of costs from that by using this. And I'd much rather use someone independently that's working for us than somebody's working with a contractor.
Yeah.
But I do believe the committee is going to have a lot of input on this, Steve Grogan especially, and Herb. So I would love to hear from them. So if the council does approve this, we hear from them tomorrow. If they don't like it,
that's
the
fine.
Committee don't have to approve.
I kind of feel like this motion is giving them the blessing. Is that what you intend?
Yeah, well, ultimately, I need your blessing because I've received this proposal and it's not anything we've budgeted.
Right.
So I've got to have your approval to be able to sign the contract.
I get
typically,
that.
What I would have them do is make a recommendation to you at the front end rather than the back side.
But no hard feelings if they hear it and say no.
Right. If we hear from Steve and Herb tomorrow and they tell us something totally different and they convince us it's not needed, then that committee's going to turn it down and it won't be a go.
Sure.
Well.
But this way, if we approve it, then the committee can keep it moving. It don't have to pull back and wait another month.
Well, this is personal opinion. You know, I think that we're very fortunate. We all have different gifts. We're all so different. We're so, you know, and that for you and Brian to be on there in the first place is a real plus for us and to trust you to know. And it's a good thing. We're in growing pains. We have so much great stuff going on. And if we don't take advantage of great planning and great companies, we will not be able to do all of our wonderful things.
Right.
You know, so, you know, that's just how I feel. I think it's a wonderful thing.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree, Debbie.
Well, and I expressed to Kevin the other day, too, you said the word trust. If we get this wrong the first go-around, we know whose head's on the chopping block because
right.
We know who was on that committee. So it's extremely important to me to get this right the first time.
Exactly.
So.
Well, just knowing you're thinking that way, it's real important. Mm-hmm. You know, you're taking that very seriously.
Yes, ma'am.
We want you to get it right, too.
Yeah.
No, I mean, it's
or
yeah.
else. Say that. Oh,
yeah.
Baby.
Yeah,
all right, we need a motion.
I make a motion to approve the proposal from the sports facilities company to conduct a market opportunity analysis for $18,000 and conduct a financial feasibility assessment for $35,000 contingent upon approval by the Recreation Planning Committee. I got that right.
Perfect.
Second.
Motion is second. Any more discussion? Call for a vote, please.
Adam?
Yes, ma'am.
And Davey?
Yes.
Ruth?
Yes.
Audrey?
Yes.
Brian?
Yes, ma'am.
Jimmy?
Yes.
Next, item number 9, and thank y'all for that.
You're welcome.
The committee will vet this out thoroughly. Item 9, consideration to authorize the city administrator to join a class action lawsuit for aqueous film forming foam products liability litigation. Mr. Bronson or Andrew, which one of y'all want this one?
I'll start off and I'm going to hand it to Andrew first.
Right.
Thank you for saying that so I didn't have to.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a group of, I'm going to call it contaminants because I don't know what else to call it. It's called PFAS. And I can't recall what the PFAS stands for. But essentially, you think of a frying pan that is nonstick. That was actually, that nonstick coating was made by DuPont and 3M, and it's actually a contaminant that gets in groundwater. Or it gets in our water system, not groundwater. Typically, it's going to be, it's the type of thing, and it doesn't really go away. It doesn't have a half-life. It's just going to hang around for quite a while. The city of Camden actually initiated a lawsuit against DuPont and 3M. Their raw water intake is off the Watery River that has quite a bit of the contamination that is there. We were approached by the Rural Water Association because there is now a class action lawsuit against those companies and they're looking to have a settlement. Whether or not we have any exposure to PFAS right now, we don't know. My belief is that since we're getting our water off the Chaga River, that we're probably in pretty good shape because our water is not sitting in a lake and there's not a whole lot that is north feeding into it. However, we have not had it fully tested. DHEC hasn't come through and or the EPA required it. In order to preserve our rights with this class action lawsuit, joining it would be the best way to preserve those rights if we were to see that there is contamination. We would always have the ability, if we didn't join this, to go after them legally ourselves, but keep in mind it's 3M and DuPont, and they have they have more attorneys than just Andrew. So with that, Diana Denny, our water plant manager, and I have spent quite a bit of time talking about whether or not we should or shouldn't. Then we began bugging Andrew with endless number of emails. Ultimately, Andrew and I talked and thought that we should bring it to you and have you bless. Is it, would I sign off on the, I would actually sign off on the class action agreement that we would join in with that. And if we were to find we have any PFAS, then we would have some means testing we would go through to see what part of that settlement we would get. There we go. So now I'll turn it over to you.
I don't have much to add. That encompasses much of what I was going to say. Kind of a couple of main caveats is, you know, we don't know what we don't know. So, you know, we don't know if we have these chemicals. I believe Diana had said that samples were sent off already.
Okay.
I think so.
Yeah, most of my belief that we don't have any comes from my conversations with her.
And it's also my understanding we wouldn't have had any of these plants feeding into our water system, hopefully. And so I don't know if y'all have heard of Forever Chemicals, but that's, if you see it in the news, the Attorney General, Alan Wilson, has a suit against some of these companies as well. But basically, we kind of have to opt in to have an ability to recover any funds. As Kevin mentioned, you know, we could always not opt in and just kind of wait and see if we have any of these chemicals, if we have any of this damage that we have to find a way to remediate, and then we'd have to go after these companies on our own. So certainly better, in my opinion, to go ahead and opt in, do the testing, figure out if we have any issues, if we have to have any remediation, and then be entitled to receive some portion of the settlement funds. 3M and DuPont are two that have already settled. There's still some outstanding defendants. There's billions of dollars already available in the settlement fund, but that's not going to go terribly far in the grand scheme of remediating. It's going to be expensive work to do. So hopefully we don't have any issues, but there's effectively no harm in opting in unless we believe that we need to go after DuPont or 3M individually. And I spoke with Kevin about it. I said, you know, do we think that we could have any individual claims, you know, for any plant that operated around here, and we've racked our brains, and to the best of our knowledge, we're not aware of any possibility of any individual claims that we would have against any of these manufacturers.
This would only be for drinking water, correct? So it's not like one of the plants Jensen shut down, used something, and it's in the ground there. This is just strictly drinking water.
I think it is strictly drinking water. You're asking a little bit. I think it's for anybody that is or any entity that is processing water to be consumed.
Okay. So, yeah. And it's no cost to the city to join. I mean, it's not costing us anything.
Yeah. Did they say how long it would take to get back the test results?
I don't know the answer to that. So Diana may know, but she may not even know. And I do want to give her a shout out. She put together a bunch of technical data. Basically, it's a 5 or 6 page form for each one of these claims. She put together the technical data and along with Kevin and got that to me. So basically, we're all good to go. We just need your blessing to join it.
Okay.
So we need a motion.
I make a motion that we join the suit lawsuit.
Second.
Any further discussion? Call for a vote.
Stady? Yes. Ruth?
Yes.
Aldrich?
Yes.
Brown?
Yes, ma'am.
Jimmy?
Yes.
Adam?
Yes. All right, all hearts and minds are clear.
Clear.
We'll do adjourn.
So moved.
Yeah, right.
I made a motion.
Second.
Seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Whatever. Say yes.
Y'all have a good week and look forward to seeing everybody at the Bigfoot Festival.
And tomorrow.
Kevin, one request we have.